Now, I also mentioned at the beginning of this lecture that we should take a look at the role of Buddhism in Chinese literature. I'd like to conclude by commenting on a couple of Buddhist poems. The first of these is written by a poet who is known simply as Cold Mountain. Cold Mountain is his name, it's the place where he lives, and it also is his primary symbol of enlightenment. Let me read one of his verses, and you, as you listen to it, should think a little bit about whether this is Buddhist or Taoist, or whether it's some subtle combination of those two traditions where it's difficult any longer to get the two traditions apart. As for me, I delight in the everyday way, amongst mist-wrapped vines and rocky caves. Here in the wilderness, I am completely free. With my friends, the white clouds, idling forever. There are roads, but they do not reach the world. Since I am mindless, who can rouse my thoughts? On a bed of stone, I sit alone in the night while the round moon climbs up Cold Mountain. I love this poem. I must say, this is one of the things that really makes the Buddhist tradition appealing to me, and it always takes my mind, even in the most complex and confusing situation, right straight to the top of some rocky peak in the Adirondacks, where I'm wrapped in mist and contemplate the flow of the mountains through the valleys. That's the image we have of Cold Mountain. He's a mountain ascetic. He lives in the mountains and he experiences the freedom of the wilderness. Now, really, what we're talking about here is the classic Chinese image of a Taoist sage, Taoist ascetic who withdraws from society to achieve union with nature out there in the wilderness, in the natural world. But you can also see that Buddhist values are very powerfully expressed in this verse as well. When he talks about the way, it's the Buddha way. It's the everyday way that leads you to the experience of enlightenment. The wilderness and the experience of freedom that comes in the wilderness, that's the old experience of Buddhist renunciation when the Buddha left the palace and went off to wander the forest roads with the bands of ascetics. And then at the very end, when he talks about the round moon climbing up Cold Mountain, the cold moon is a classic Indian symbol of the Buddha that cools the passions of life in this world. And the cold mountain we've talked about, of course, is this mountain at the center of the cosmos that symbolizes the experience of enlightenment in the tantric tradition. So all of these images in here, or many of them, are powerfully resonant Buddhist images as well as images that would work just as well in the Taoist tradition. And then let me read one more verse that I think gives a classic example of the way Zhe'i's philosophy of the three levels of truth expressed itself in literary form. This is a verse by the Buddhist poet Wang Wei. Empty hills, no one in sight. Only the sound of someone talking. Late sunlight enters the deep wood, shining over the green moss again. This is a verse that again takes me to the Adirondacks, walking up an Adirondack trail and hearing the chattering of a bunch of Boy Scouts coming along the trail behind you. In some ways, it's a very simple expression of Buddhist values, but you can also see in it a very subtle mapping of Zhe'i's vision of the world. Empty hills, no one in sight. That's ultimate truth experienced in the wilderness. Only the sound of someone talking. That's conventional experience. Chatter, jabber, the jabbering of all sorts of words. And then finally, an image at the end of the union between these two, of ultimate reality and conventional reality, and the experience of sunlight shining into the depths of the wood. What is the wood symbolically in Buddhist literature? It's samsara. It's the forest of samsara. And what is the sunlight that floods through this forest? It's really the face of a Buddha like Amitabha. It's the sunlight of the Buddha's wisdom that illuminates us in this world. Now, there is a lot more that could be said about the Buddhism of Tang China, but I hope you've gotten from this just a flavor of the sophistication and complexity of Buddhism when it became fully a part of Chinese civilization.